if I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
This Friday, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.
Benders and non-benders alike, welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. And so, Varney, hopefully by now everyone knows that we are really, really lucky that we were able to get our two dads on the show regularly, Mike and Brian, doing Braving the Elements, and it's always great to see them and visit with them. But it's especially awesome considering how busy they are working on the all-new Avatar Studios content.
Yes, indeed. I will say I agree with you. I will back you up and say we definitely never take for granted how lucky we truly are. But I would say also that luck sort of extends out to other brilliant and wonderful friends in the Avatar Studios world as well, some of whom we've already had on the podcast. But there are a couple of people that we are definitely in very regular touch with who we've been dying to have on the show.
Yes. And before we introduce them, let me just address that we can't promise to pull too many Avatar Studios secrets out of them.
Right.
But we can promise that they are part of the Avatar family and that you are going to be very glad to get to know this episode right here.
Yes. Yes. Let's bring in our buddies. Please welcome Isabella Betcher and Pramod Manyan. Hello, friends.
Welcome. Welcome to the podcast, you guys.
Hi, guys. Thanks.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
This is very exciting.
I'm happy to have some other Avatar Studio people on the podcast with me and Janet. We travel throughout the country and whatnot, and people are asking us all these secrets, and we tell them we don't know. Can you tell them that me and Varney definitely don't know any of the secrets?
That's why we brought you on, to assure people we don't know.
Yes, they do not know. No offense, you guys, but we do not share anything with you.
They can't.
Exactly.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't.
We have too big of mouths. We can't. You know.
You have a platform. You have a podcast. You can make
That's right.
So many friends that way.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, Isabella, tell us what your title is so we know what realm you're operating in.
The realm I operate in. I'm the creative executive for Avatar Studios.
Fantastic.
And I operate in a few different realms. So I'm doing creative development.
Spirit realm.
Yeah, most primarily spirit realm. Absolutely.
Primarily.
Mm-hmm. It's a higher level of thinking. Guys.
Yeah.
No spoilers, but Isabella's an avatar.
Okay, yeah.
Next.
That's how I got the job. So, and the avatar.
I believe that.
So, development on all the different projects we're working on. And then we're doing a bunch of cool consumer products things from games to toys to books to comics to all that. So, I help to manage that along with a bunch of other handy people, including Pramod.
Pramod, hello. Now, tell us your title, but we probably might want to tack some extra stuff onto your official title.
Yeah, well, I am the studio assistant here at Avatar. Really grateful to be here because it's such a great job where you get to put your hand in every pot. And it's like, you get to work directly with the creators, with our two dads, as you guys say.
Yes.
And like Isabella says, we do a lot of awesome stuff in all aspects, especially even, you know, consumer products, games, books, comics. It's like everything you get to see about Avatar.
Oh, love it. But you are also very well versed in the Avatarverse, and we have absolutely shouted you out on the show before for helping us with accuracies and inaccuracies. Pramod has saved our butts, I would say, a couple of times from things that either our guest said unintentionally or that one of us said or we were under the misconception of, or we just misspoke in the moment. Because the funny thing is, when you're recording a podcast, sometimes you get wrapped up in stuff and you just like misspeak. And we all know how connected and smart and aware and how much you are carefully listening, friends out there. So please know that having someone on our side who's like, hey, everybody, I went ahead and listened to the episode and you called Azula, Ty Lee. I mean, I don't think we've done anything that egregious, but I am so glad that you have caught a couple of things that like I think maybe even our two dads don't catch. So you're a little bit of a
prodigy. I was about to say, Janet, even in our meetings, sometimes the guys will say something and promote will like message me on the side and be like, actually, canonically, it doesn't really work. And yes. I'll be like, promote has something to say because he saves our butts every day.
There has to be a keeper of the lore. Our world is expanding. It's not just one show, not just two shows. It's ever expanding. And as it gets more expansive and gets more details, like Filoni has become the keeper of the lore. Over the Star Wars world. Mm-hmm. As our world expands and becomes more enriched, we're going to need a keeper of that lore to keep us all on the same timeline here. You know?
He's our historian, for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's a great side effect of having grown up watching these shows and just being so enamored by them that you keep rewatching and rewatching. Mm-hmm. And now all of this knowledge sits in my head. And before this job, you're like, well, when is that ever going to come in handy?
All the time. Wait, Pramod, tell them when you found out you had this job.
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah, so I've been listening to this podcast from the first episode since you guys announced it. And I am a huge super fan. So that's why I started listening to it. My first time I got called for an interview at Avatar Studios, I was sitting in my car driving home from work listening to your podcast.
You were?
Wow.
We didn't know that story.
That's amazing.
It gets even better because when I got the call that, we want you on Avatar Studios, I was also listening to another episode of the podcast, driving home from work.
Isabel, you guys got the right guy.
I know. We got so lucky. Oh. But I have to just expand on that story. He was listening, I believe, to the Eric Coleman episode when he found out he got the job. Wow. And Eric Coleman is our boss. So it's funny because he was listening to the show with
you
his
already boss. Did that research before the initial interview. It's like, I actually know what your voice sounds like. I'm glad I'm here.
I came well prepared for this.
Amazing. Yeah, definitely did not know that story. I can't believe how beautifully that's all lined up. Avatar Isabella, were you in the spirit world massaging things so that all of that timing would work out so magically and perfectly? Great.
Yes. Well, we met Pramod and I was like, we need him.
Yes.
Send sound waves through the podcast.
There you go.
To let him know. Yeah. That was how we did it.
She's the Avatar, you guys. That's fantastic.
So Pramod, you said you kind of grew up on the show. So you discovered Avatar when?
Oh, when I was 10 years old when I was watching Avatar as it was coming out. This is a terrible thing to say to the people that have worked on the show, but I was very young when the show came out. I remember the advertisement of Sozin's Comet so vividly because I was so excited for that four-part finale. I was this is the best show ever.
We're glad you grew up with us. I know. You're a full-grown man.
I feel like we meet so many young fans now that I got to tell you, I'm relieved that you were alive when the show was on.
This is true.
I was fully prepared for you to be and once I got to be 10 years old, my parents dusted off the DVDs and put them in.
He was literally just born.
Yeah.
So
a tiny, tiny baby. No, I'm totally relieved. Isabella, what about you? When did you discover the Avatarverse?
I discovered it also when I was a kid, although I'm a little older than Pramod. But I have older siblings, so I watch it with my older siblings.
Okay.
And then rediscovered it, as so many did during COVID, because in an attempt to give myself some sort of routine during those dark, dark days, I started doing Saturday morning cartoons.
Okay.
So I would put on Avatar while I had my breakfast on Saturday mornings. And and then I got this job. That was before I had the job.
Oh,
so
man.
It worked out really nicely.
God, in my mind, you've been working on Avatar Studios longer than the pandemic. And also, Avatar Studios hasn't been around that long. So I don't know how.
It's not.
But we all know the time lost all meaning during the pandemic. So.
Oh, yeah. It feels like it was before the pandemic. It feels like it's been years.
No, it was the middle. And honestly, it's so weird because I've only met Mike and Brian in person maybe 4 times. And we've been working together almost 2 years, which is crazy.
Oh, that's so crazy.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, not to pry, but how much can you tell us about what you're doing at After Our Studios with respect to what your roles are there?
Yeah. I mean, we're coming up with a lot of really cool stories along with the guys and some other cool people we've brought in to help us out. And it's a small crew, small but mighty, but it is wild how much we've grown. I was actually the first hire, so it's weird that now I have so many coworkers.
Yeah.
And everything's constantly changing and evolving, and to see where like a toy concept was a year ago and now it's a real thing I walk by in the store is really weird. Like it's really strange. But
yeah,
as far as like content development, that's a really big part of our jobs. And like I said, Pramod is incredibly helpful in that because he helps keep us on track with the canon of the story. Yeah. And it's all been over Zoom though. Like we're doing all these writing meetings and things over Zoom. So it's a little, when I don't have to use Zoom anymore, I'll be very happy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Dante and I are spoiled because we get to see each other in person doing cons and stuff. If we didn't have that, we would be like.
Mm-hmm.
But for the fan base out there, Isabella, what I'm ascertaining is that there's multiple stories going on that are being developed, multiple stories, and many, many different tangible things we can touch also, whether they be toys or games or other things that we all can look forward to touching and watching and experiencing. That's what I'm getting. Am I wrong, Barney?
Sounds like it to me.
In a very vague way.
That's safe to say.
Okay. I think that's safe to say. There's a lot of stories across many different mediums that are...
Okay, that's even better.
...being developed and explored.
All right.
And I know Dante already told this to Brian, but anybody wants to make Dante a toy drill from the drill... ready to go.
I'd like a remote control drill
through his own walls.
I want to drill through walls. I want to drill through the neighbor's yard, under the fence. I want to just make a drill wall. If we can get Azula and the rest of the Mean Girls to jump out and do stuff, that'd be awesome also. But just a full-on power drill remote control would be great.
Totally. We're ready for the whole tool set. This is going to be great. Oh, that's very exciting. Okay, before we get into our Avatar questions, what are your backgrounds? Like, we know that you both love the Avatarverse. What else brought you into the fold in terms of maybe what you'd gone to school for or what you did before or anything like that that can sort of give us a mental picture?
Yeah, where did you come from?
Yeah, I mean, I came out of college. This is only like my second, third job out of college. I worked as an assistant on TV sets. I worked on the Sex and the City reboot.
Oh, sure.
And so it's a huge difference to what I'm doing now, but animation had always been the goal. Yeah.
Nice.
And I studied writing and communication. So to be writing and communicating with Avatar is just amazing.
Love it. Isabella, what about you?
I had a weird path. I actually, when I moved to LA, I fell into the talent world. And I was in talent for most of my career out here.
Wow.
I worked in digital talent specifically. So YouTubers and TikTokers and influencers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was my bread and butter. And I had always wanted to do writing and TV production. That's what I'd studied in school. But sometimes you kind of just take the jobs you can get when you move out here. And was very fortunate to have some really awesome mentors in my other positions who were very supportive of my goal of working more in a creative development capacity. And I was at Nickelodeon working in their digital department with their YouTube talent and that kind of world, and started just meeting a bunch of people, talking to as many people as I can, putting out the word that I was looking for something. I think that's the biggest thing. Be vocal about what you want.
Yeah.
And out of the blue, I got an email that was just like, hey, do you like Avatar? And I was like, yeah, I'm alive. So
I'm a person. I live and breathe. I have lungs and a brain.
Yes.
I'm here on this planet. So yes, I do love Avatar. And
amazing.
They were like, great, you're going to meet with Mike and Brian tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So to this day, I don't know who put my name up for this. I don't know how that came up, but I think it was just from shouting from the rooftops that I was looking for something new, that somehow this came into my lap. So I got very lucky.
Me neither, which is this how Avatar used to work before we got here? That they just like cold emailed people about like, do you want to work for Avatar? Because I got that same email.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, now, hadn't you submitted for something at Nick?
I submitted for something, but I never heard back, and I sort of
basically, I can answer that question. We pulled your resume from some other applications because it matched what we were looking for.
Whoa.
Nice. We talked to a lot of awesome people, but promote is just fabulous. So
wow, that was really well. Even I didn't know.
You know what's crazy? Mm-hmm. We did Avatar 17 plus years ago, and I was part of the original crew doing it. It is wonderful to see this generation that actually grew up with Avatar. Like, they grew up, it's part of the way they see the world. It kind of helps shape how they experience things. And now they're working on this iteration of the Avatarverse and where we're going. And I find it so exciting to see cats like you that are like on the team now that, I mean, to a degree, it's like you just, your life, for as long as you can remember back, you know, 10, it's like Avatar's been in the world. And that's wonderful. It's kind of, I can't wait to see what the whole new team, new gang puts together and where we all get to go. I can't wait to see it.
Well, it shows like Avatar that made me want to work in young adult children's television in the first place, because I used to babysit, and some of the stuff I was watching with these kids, I was like, this isn't great. I know kids in young adult TV can be great because I watched it. I watched Avatar growing up. Like, I know that it's possible to present challenging, inspiring, exciting storylines to kids that also appeal to adults and all audiences. And so, yeah, that working here is definitely a dream come true and right on track with where I wanted to be.
It does spoil you. The show definitely spoils you. Like,
yes.
I mean, just for us doing the podcast, so much in my life is filtered through that lens now, where, you know, it kind of already was through Korra, but then to be getting so close, up close and personal in the best possible way with the first series, I do feel like I compare things happening in my life and in the world. What is it that you're taking in? What are you consuming with your heart? What are you watching? What is it, you know, what's provocative? Because that is, we're such comparative species. You know what I mean? We're so like, how do I understand this? Well, I can look at this, 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 and this, and maybe that will help me understand this thing I'm going through. And if you have Iroh fresh in your mind from just having watched an episode, you're probably in pretty good shape. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're like, I was overcomplicating this. It's actually really simple. So you're so right, Isabel. Like, wanting kids to have access to something that is both entertaining and is like, this is shaping, like Dante said, like, this is shaping who you are as a person. It's a big deal. All right. We did prepare some special Avatar-specific questions.
Okay.
Because we love you. Okay, let's start with a couple basics. Dante, kick us off.
Okay, so we are in the middle of book two. What are your two favorite episodes from book two?
Isabella, what's your first pick that you want us all to talk about?
The library.
Yes.
I love the library. I like the beginning initially with all the little groundhog things popping up because it reminds me of Meerkat Manor.
Yes, which was, it does. Me too. Yes.
A show I treasured.
It's another show we watched during COVID. We watched those little meerkats do their thing.
There's so much drama in meerkat culture.
That beginning, that's one of my favorite things. Yeah, one of my favorite things in the series, period. Certainly in terms of comedy. Like, that's hard.
I was about to say.
Hard to touch.
Like, Toph is my favorite character, and this is such a good Toph episode for just her quips and all her moments, and like when it's just her and Appa and she's like, how's it going? Like, it's just so good. Like, it's my favorite. And then also when they do the amazing animation of Sokka going, the library! I die every time. So it's my favorite.
That's a great episode.
And then her emotional turmoil at the end of the episode.
I know, and then it's heartbreaking.
A lot happens.
It's heartbreaking.
I know.
She's little doing the best she can, but no one can do it all. And not all the time.
Not all the time. And then I love that there's little hints of what's to come, too. Like, in the library, Aang pulls out a book. And there's,
and what we saw, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like foreshadow alert. But like
foreshadow alert.
Like the lion turtle drawing. He's like, look at this. And like, we know later we're going to see that. So that was fun. Yeah, and stuff we've seen before. And it's just, I just like that. It was,
my so fave. Good.
Did our archaeologist guy, he's just dead. He's in there just reading till he dies.
We see him in Korra.
Yeah, we see him in Korra. He died there doing what he loved.
It was a good life, at least. He enjoyed it.
Okay.
He did.
I actually spent some time thinking about this because I was like, how long could he have lived down there just reading.
Yeah.
And I think that the foxes would have brought him food and stuff is what I decided.
I agree. Even Wan Chitong, like once you know this person has no intention of leaving, then it's like he presented himself as the ideal human, you know, considering that the owl spirit had been disappointed time and again, including by our own team.
Yes,
with the fact that they wanted to take and use knowledge in the outside world. But then you have somebody who's like, I'm just a scholar. I don't need to ever leave these walls. I'm content to just learn and be here and enjoy. I feel like the foxes and the owl spirit would be like, you know what? You're our new roommate. Like, we'll take care of you, you know?
Yeah. He was like spirits. The human embodiment of Wan Chitong. Wan Chitong just wanted to collect all of this knowledge. And that's what the professor wanted.
Yes.
So that's what we're developing, actually, is a TV show about the friendship of Wan Chitong and the archaeologist. It's a buddy comedy.
What I'd like to see is the owl, like an owl does to his young, just chew the food and then feeds it to the archaeologist.
Baby birds him.
He baby birds him.
But then the foxes like to steal stuff. So just right as it's about to go into his mouth, the little fox goes, phew, and then just catches the food.
This is great work, guys. We're going to take this back to Avatar Studios.
Yeah. New spinoff, you guys. New spinoff.
It's so easy to develop stuff, you guys. We wrote six musicals.
Come on.
We had Catherine Rose and we had Daniel on here. Now we're just writing shows left and right.
The this owl is so spirit, easy. Bird baby and the archaeologist. What's going on? This is fire stuff.
Yeah.
We're pitching this to Nickelodeon right now.
Fantastic. Promote, what's your first one you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just choosing is the hardest part, right? Yeah. And so this one, I was stuck between two, and I was leaning just a little bit towards The Blind Bandit because introduction, again, like Isabella said, the introduction of Toph, is, come on, it's amazing.
All time great.
The boulder, the hippo. It was such a great episode for like the humor of it. Just watching this little girl beat up all these big guys. And then it got so emotional. And
the whole wrestling like kind of theme that was going on that a lot of us had grown up with. And then for the little girl to come out and you're like, what? That's the Blind Bandit? And then she's the best ever. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I just also got to say, like, for a show that's on Nickelodeon, for have the most powerful fighter be a little girl, like, that's so cool for that age group to be watching and be like, oh, I am just as powerful.
And like, to find out that's not how they originally planned it.
No, isn't that crazy?
It's like, what? Yeah. You guys didn't plan it like this? Like, no, that's not how it really originally was. We're like, it was supposed to be like a bigger guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so wild.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you, like, you think everything's planned out in the universe, but like, no, there's like these happy accidents happen and it's even better than you planned.
Sometimes. You can't get too attached to any idea because a better idea could always be right around the corner. And that's something true.
That's a good lesson as a writer to
dealing
keep in
with
mind.
Every day.
We're not too precious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really
you
good
have
point.
To be willing to kill your darlings.
Yeah.
Every day.
That's hard.
Yeah.
I love these two episodes like being talked about back to back too, because if you just told somebody who didn't know anything about Avatar, like for example, there's you know, like a huge library in the middle of a desert that contains like all knowledge, you know, but it's mostly buried because a spirit buried it. And they're like, oh, that sounds cool. And then you're like, and then there's this episode where a bunch of pro wrestlers get together. And like, there's, you know, it's like a wrestling tournament. You'd be like, that's not the same show. I don't see how that could be the same show. It's like, and then tonally, the episodes can be so different, yet all feel like canon. Like you preserve the DNA. But so many episodes in book two have the opportunity to just like stretch to the limits of kind of what the Avatarverse can sustain in a way, you know?
It's like, it all comes down to the characters and like the way the guys were planning it out. Like you have these crazy episodes and you can see that it comes from the characters and it's driven by that.
And, you know, we talked heavily about Toph right now. And when I think about the gang, we talk about Toph and we talk, you know, Katara, Sokka. And you don't realize as we were going through book two, like she finally gets her in book two. I mean, the Blind Bandit.
I know, we're like looking at our watch.
We're like,
I mean,
oh my goodness. I forgot that she doesn't come until book. Yeah. It's like so, it's just not, I don't remember it like that. I remember them all together the whole time.
I don't remember the first season not having her. Which
exactly.
Is like I retcon her into the first season.
Me too.
Great choices.
So those are the first two. We got the Blind Bandit. We have the library. So what's your second favorite episode in book two?
Second favorite, like Pramod said, Listen, they're all my favorites.
They're all awesome.
I love Lake Laogai. I love a good conspiracy. And so when that happened, I was like, oh, man, like, this is crazy. Like, I just had a blast watching that one with all its twists and turns. And the part where it's Jet and Smellerby and Toph's like, they're neither of them are lying. I was like, for me, it's always been a very memorable episode.
It's some high-end writing for a kid's show. This is like some motion picture twists and turns. And
yeah, it's like, hi, kids. Instead of your breakfast cereal, would you like some caviar and truffles?
Yes. Yeah. It's like Judy is a horror movie character. Like, let's put a horror movie character in this show.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have so much sympathy for her, too. You know, you get to see very quickly, like, she herself is not sinister. It's what she represents that's incredibly sinister. Right. This is just this poor woman who deserves better. I do want to point out that you did pick two episodes that greatly feature something underground. So I'm just want you to bring that up in therapy. No, I'm totally kidding.
No. Okay. This is, I know we're going to get to this question later.
I'm just saying they're very different. And yet there are two.
We're going to get this question later, but we already figured out this part of the test.
Yeah.
No, but
yeah.
You guys asked where you'd like to visit from book two and
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Okay, stay wonderful. Tuned.
Yeah. It's an amazingly sophisticated episode, Lake Laogai. It's great. And you know, if you are a Manchurian Candidate fan, or if you're, you know, if you're an adult watching with your kids and you think about like Alkaline Lake, where the Wolverine goes, like under it's sinister things are happening for him under a lake as well. Like this idea of these underground lairs where suspicious activity is happening is like you, Isabella. It's kind of a favorite that and like conspiracy is like, yeah, let's get into it. Let's break this thing wide open. Like suddenly I become a hard hitting journalist.
It's highbrow stuff though, because even when I was watching, I was like, what? Hold on a second. What happened? Oh, yeah, he was getting. And I love any episode with Jet. Jet's my boy.
And,
yeah.
I know, oh, Jet's
of course. And there was some heavy emotional stuff there with Zuko and Iroh that was like really kind of like
very true.
It felt different. Like, oh, this is a whole different thing going on and it changes.
That quote from Iroh in the tunnel, it was just like, you need to look inside yourself, Prince Zuko.
Yes.
Who are you and what do you
what
want?
Do you want?
And that is a great line.
That's the meme of all memes right there. And just even Mako's performance, it just felt different. It kind of shook me, even watching it again in present time, just as a fan watching it, let alone performing it with him. It just kind of like gave a different reality to the show and to especially that relationship. It's like, oh, Zuko has to change. He can't keep going in this path that he's on. Mm-hmm. And it's,
you'll see Iroh yell at him like that.
I mean, Iroh yelled at him like emotionally. You know, you just feel all your dad, all your coaches that have raised their voices at you at any time. It's like, you felt it right there in that moment. Like, oh yeah, I could be better.
Wait,
yeah.
Dante and Janet, can I ask you a question? I mean, I know we haven't gotten into Corey yet on the podcast, but as you're recapping these podcast episodes, are you remembering when you recorded them and like what you felt when you recorded those lines? Like, is that?
Sometimes when it happens, we can remember. We haven't got to Cora yet. I can't wait to go in on Varney during Cora. But yes, we've gone on some moments about, do you remember this scene, this moment, this, And there's all kinds of memories, but it's been so far back for me that I've also, this is really my first time watching the show in chronological order. And a lot of actors, we just kind of do it. And the experience is doing it and learning the story as you do it. And then rarely, I've definitely never gone back like this and had to watch it and really think about, you know, you go watch a movie, you go watch an episode, something you did years later, but you're not like talking about it with anybody to any real extent. Mm-hmm. This is like, oh, we really got to like check this out. So it's really almost a new experience for me to see all these episodes in a new space and time. And it's a weird thing because part of it's like the memory of doing it and being there with some people or wherever I was in the world because I had to do a lot of stuff remote if I was working. And then just this new feeling of just being a fan who's also lived with it for the last 17 years and go, wow, this is actually more beautiful looking at it now or feeling it now or, you know, it's great.
Well, I think too, it's been really fun seeing you in this sort of in between like General Iroh age of, you know, you're not Iroh and you're not Zuko. You're almost like Iroh and Korra in terms of like where you are in your life. And you're able to remember a younger Dante and what he was going through and see this bigger picture parallel that you wouldn't have been able to see at the time. And now you can like look back and go, you know, wow, there was some real parallels happening with Zuko that I wasn't even thinking about in the moment because you needed that perspective of years
100%.
Later. 100%. It's great.
And it's wild because we talked about this earlier about being spoiled, like me and Varney, like we're part of a great Korra avatars. Like we've been working for many years in the industry and we've done many projects and you kind of take for granted how great this project is. You know, you guys are working in maybe different parts of your career, but you may move on to other things that aren't as good as this. And sometimes you take for granted the things that you're working on, how great they may be. And then for us having the chance to really look at it and break it down and like honor it, really.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like we're kind of, this whole podcast is about honoring this kind of special thing that we're a part of. And
yeah,
that's a different feeling. And it's really cool because you don't know the things you do that become important things. We just do things. I'm just having a good time doing it.
That's awesome.
And we're having a good time listening.
We love to hear it.
No, we know that we're incredibly fortunate to be doing what we're doing.
I think it's a group of people who all share that common feeling, which is gives me so much excitement about what's still to come. Speaking of what's still to come, what about our final episode?
Hermel, what's your favorite second episode book two?
Mine is, and I'm cheating a little here because I'm going to use the two-parter. And I'm going to talk about the season finale.
He's going to use the two-parter. And technically, no one said he couldn't.
I'm finding the loopholes, Janet.
Oh, you really
but
are. I respect it.
The finale was, and a lot of people will say that, like, you know, book two's finale wasn't as good as book one or book three. Obviously, amazing season finale is all three of them. But yeah. I personally loved the story on book two. The first half with Aang going to the Eastern Air Temple, talking to the guru, and you get this huge look into the lore of the Avatar and how the Avatar is so spiritually connected and has to clear his chakras in order to unlock the Avatar state. And it's an amazing journey that we watch Aang go on, and the gang like splits up for a second.
Right.
And then it all comes together in this amazing finale. You see the invention of, and I don't know, maybe we're getting too far, maybe we're foreshadow alerts, but
we're foreshadowing a little bit. I mean, listen, if folks don't want to hear this, I imagine you've seen all the episodes more than once, but if you haven't,
right,
feel free to skip ahead probably 30 seconds to a minute. You're fine.
But yeah, and the invention of metal bending, and that's, this episode has it all.
Massive.
And I personally just love watching the finale, and you see, you know, Zuko struggling with his decision. And it's like, yeah, every character has this amazing journey that, yeah, they go on in this book.
I'm impressed because we, you know, I asked some social media questions quite some time ago, definitely asked people about their favorite episodes in book two. And while Blind Bandit is way up there and Crossroads of Destiny, there's definitely love there. I'm impressed that neither of you picked Zuko Alone or Tales of Ba Sing Se or Appa's Lost Days. And I suspect that part of that is that you probably didn't pick some of those because you knew other people, like, you knew that they're like, everybody talks about those episodes as like, you know.
Jenny, you only said two.
I know, totally. No, but like, I'm glad that, because I feel like we've talked about the other ones so much. It's wonderful to get some love for episodes like Lake Lao Guy, which is like such a phenomenal episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, honestly, for me, my favorite episodes are when the gang is all together.
Yes.
And all those episodes are very individualized. And so, I mean, I enjoy those episodes a lot. But for me, I remember watching that kind of block of episodes and being really happy when we got back to everyone just being together again. I was like, yay,
yes,
okay, we're back. The gang is back
that
together. Yeah, that's my favorite.
That makes total sense. Well, speaking of characters being together, we also came up with some other questions for you. They are character specific. So let's start with, from each of you, Pramod, we want to hear from you first. Which character, this can go for all of these questions, which character from book two, and they can be the leads that we know and love, they can be smaller one-off characters. And this will be the first question we ask. Character, Pramod, that you would most like to go on a vacation with?
So I had a hard time picking because every character is so funny in this show and they all have their own humor. But then I thought about it in sort of a different way. And I was like, well, I'm going to take Bumi because that would be fun. I feel like Bumi knows how to make anything.
Bumi knows how to party.
Yeah, exactly. He knows how to make anything crazy. He'll take it up to 11.
Yeah.
We'll go sliding down the tubes in Omashu. So that sounds like a great vacation.
Bumi's a good one.
Great, great choice. Isabella, what about you?
He'd also be exhausting a little bit.
He's the guy that never runs out of energy.
He's a homie.
He never runs out of energy.
2 days at, like, into the vacation, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out tonight. Why don't you guys go out? I'm going to, like, recharge, and then let's get breakfast, and then we'll get back into it. But tonight, you know what I'm saying?
Totally, he's out till breakfast. That's boom.
Yep. Oh, he's going hard every night.
I just got to say, off of the slides and Omashu thing, my personal dream, this is not something that's happening, I want to be clear, is to open an Avatar The Last Airbender water park and have there be Omashu slides everywhere. How rad would that be?
That'd be awesome. By the way, this is not happening, you guys, just so you know. Again, we're not doing that. But this would be great.
Mike and Brian will probably be like mad.
Do not report this as news. Isabella, who would you like to go on a vacation with?
Kind of for the opposite reasoning from Pramod, I choose May. I know that's a weird choice, but here's why.
Shout out to May.
I have a hard time shutting down, like shutting off and just relaxing and not doing anything. And I think having her on the trip with me would be really helpful to make me to just stop. Like, I am the person who's like, we go on a trip and I'm like, here's the itinerary and all that.
Right.
And then my boyfriend's the person who's like, let's sit on the beach all day. And I need that, you know? So
love it.
Yeah. I would take May.
That's such
I feel
a
like
fun
she
choice.
Would center
May's
me.
May's a good hang. I mean, she was bored with her parents or wherever she was. So she wants to do cool stuff. She wants to be in a cool situation, but she's not like going boomy.
No, she's going to like take it in. She's going to experience it.
She wants to be the cool place. Totally. She may not be partying all night.
Which is my style. Like, I don't want to party all night.
That's great.
Shout out to May.
That's great. Okay, Dante, what's our next question for these guys?
Which character from book 2 would you like to have argue on your behalf in court?
Mm-hmm.
I will say Azula because I
Oh
think
my goodness. You're
I
in trouble.
I would win. I know I would win because she would scare everybody in court. And they would say...
She's sending lightning bolts to whoever's against you.
That's what I'm saying. They would say, charges dropped. Oh, you may goodness. Go. Please take this woman with you. So
I love Azula. She's my sister, but I hate her. You remember how she got Ty Lee to come on the adventure with her?
Yeah.
She's like, guess what, Ty Lee? I'm going to burn all your equipment and make this the most death-defying job you can think about.
But can I tell you something, Dante? She got results, all right?
Very persuasive.
I'm trying not to go to jail in this case. Yeah, so, all right.
She doesn't know nothing but 100. Yeah. That's all she knows. So, I mean, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. She's like, Your Honor, permission to scorch the bench?
Exactly. Permission granted.
Wonderful. Well, all right, Pramod. I cannot wait to hear what you have to say because you did not approve of Isabella's Azula choice.
That came out of left field. I did not know she was going to do that tactic of just intimidate the witness.
Never sue me.
No way.
My answer, so I was thinking either I could go the silly option because we have seen Sokka do it, but I'm going to go with Toph because who better to represent you than someone who knows who's telling the truth?
That's so true.
That's pretty
really good.
Justice is blind.
Oh, that's a good one, Doug.
Justice is blind.
But Pramod, what if you're the one not telling the truth?
Ooh.
She's my attorney. She would know. And we've discussed beforehand.
He's protected. Attorney-client privilege. That is an amazing answer. Okay. Next question from each of you. Pramod, let's start with you. What character would you let borrow money from you?
Yeah, so this one, I'm going to go with the safe option. I'm going to go with Katara, and I'm going to pull a little bit foreshadow from book 3, but like when we see them in the runaway, and they're sort of like trying to make some money, Katara was the nice one. Katara wanted to keep things fair, so I trust that she'd pay me back.
That's true. She did steal the water scroll. Side note.
Oh, well.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew
Those
you were
pirates.
Like, can't wait to bring up the ceiling.
I'm not a pirate, so I'll let it slide.
Side note. Got love for guitar, of course.
Did steal the water.
Oh.
Okay, great answer. Love it. Isabella, what about you? What character would you let borrow money from you?
That answer would be Appa. He can have anything he wants.
Yeah, of course.
He can have my world, and I don't expect him to pay me back. In fact, I would refuse.
It's not borrowing.
It's not.
It's a gift.
Because he's given us all so much that least I can do. yeah.
He deserves the world.
I got all kinds of food for y'all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was thinking someone might say top Bay Fung. She is a Bay Fung. She's not worried about money.
Yeah, you could charge interest.
That's true.
Dante, you want to ask about our next round?
So which character from book two would you most like to create something with? Artistic or utility or anything? Music, song, anything? You know?
I would like to create something with Jet. And
Jet!
Let me be clear. Not in a romantic fashion.
Okay, okay.
He's a little too flaky for me. Mm-hmm, I mm-hmm. love his treehouse. I want to yes. build a treehouse with
Good
Jet.
Call.
And in this water park we're building, there will be a treehouse.
Water park? San Dimas, Raging Waters, water park with Jet in the trees.
But does anyone else do that when you watch TV or movies? You're like, that would make an amazing ride.
Oh, absolutely.
All the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
So Jet's treehouse would be a section that I would love to have. I mean, my dream is to one day have a backyard where I can put a treehouse. And yes. I suppose if I have children,
multiple
they can
treehouses.
Go in it.
Yeah.
Or multiple. Well, ideally, yeah. they're connected. Like, there's a bunch of trees, and there's little treehouses and, like, a bridge
yeah.
between
yeah.
them.
Yeah, you want to live in Endor. I get it. Your
exactly.
backyard is going to be like Endor. Yeah.
Very Lost Boys.
I'm right
boys.
There with you.
Very Lost Boys. It. You can come, Dante. You'll feel at home.
I can come hang out.
You'll feel right at home. Absolutely.
And I love Jet's style. You only has one shoulder pad. You
I know.
What
I know. He's very chic.
That's the look. He has his yeah. little straw wheat.
Yeah.
Until he's hypnotized. Then he doesn't have it anymore.
That's and that's how you know.
That's how you know.
Yeah. Dead giveaway.
Okay, that's
so
brilliant.
We're talking about building tree houses with Jet.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
another show, maybe a possible spinoff we could pitch to Avatar Studios. It's like this old house, but it's hosted by Jet. And
that's
we
great.
Go in and we do this old tree house, and we just got Jet going around. Updating yeah. your treehouse and really
perfect
making
use
it.
Of the Avatarverse.
There is actually a show called Treehouse Wars, so
treehouse
something
Wars.
Like that. And so, yeah, that can be there his show. He'll take go. Over as host.
That could be a great new chapter for Jet. You know, mm-hmm. we don't know what happened. A lot of people think he's dead. We don't know.
Sure,
we don't know. Actually, he is a contractor now for treehouses.
He's a contractor.
All right.
So, Pramod, who are you creating something with from book two?
Well, I'm going to choose the master of doing it all, Sokka, for
yeah,
the,
of course.
The artistic skills, obviously. He can design it and he can make it come to life. He's got all of it.
I got to admit, not until I rewatched the show right now during this podcast did I realize or understand how smart Sokka does everything.
Oh, yeah.
He's Batman.
Yeah.
Right? But he doesn't have an actual superpower. He's just... I mean, he's rich.
Got a lot
and
of
And then he's
gadgets,
smart.
Gadgets, great ideas.
So, like, basically, Sokka is Batman.
Sokka's yeah. Batman.
In the Avatar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Canonically, that's, yes.
That's
oh,
now
no,
canon,
don't,
yeah.
Don't say that.
Canonically. Dante's just dropping canon
the
stuff
The Avatar
all over.
Wiki.
Avatar Wiki, Sokka's Batman.
They're updating the site as we speak.
Wonderful. Okay, and then the last question we asked is, and I suspect I might know what Isabel is going to say, but maybe not. What character would you like to comfort you when you're down? I was imagining you snuggling with Appa, but I can see
no,
that's not what
now
happens.
I
so
want to
pick
that. No, I didn't. I didn't pick Appa. I picked Ty Lee because
yeah.
I love gymnastics. And I can't do gymnastics, so I'd be like, Ty Lee, please show me some gymnastics. Like, when the Olympics rolls around, like, right. I am parked in front of the gymnastics. So
Tali's always so bubbly. She's good
she's
mood.
So happy.
Listen, she has weaseled her way into the triad of May, Ty Lee, and Azula. She has picked May for something. She has picked Azula for something.
I know.
She has picked Ty Lee for something. She is in that girl
you're
game
right there,
right
Isabel.
Now.
You're right
like, she's
there.
In. That's canon.
Purely antagonists and opposites.
Okay, Ty Lee and May by the end are not antagonists. All right.
True. No, they go on a journey also.
True. They go on a journey of their own. No, Ty Lee's just always so positive and so like that I just feel like she could help get me out of a rut, you know?
That's a great choice.
Who's comforting you when you're down, Pramod?
You know, Isabel's had such amazing answers. I feel bad every time I choose the like obvious one, but I'm going with Iroh. You know, who better to comfort you when you're down? I love Iroh.
He's going to give you a nice cup of tea.
Hot cup of tea.
Words of wisdom.
Exactly. And when I was a kid, you know, he was comforting to watch those episodes and he really offered a lot of wisdom as the
Absolutely.
Most natural answer.
He's comforting now.
Yeah, he's comforting now.
That's great. I'm 100% with that.
Yeah.
So what in book two, what town or city or wilderness area would you like to visit?
Okay, going back to earlier when you were saying, Isabella, you keep choosing small underground places.
Yes.
I couldn't decide between the secret tunnel or the library, and specifically the planetarium in the library.
Oh,
I
yes.
love to be in small, dark places. I know that that's crazy.
Wow. I love this.
It is.
But being in the tunnel with the crystals lighting up, I'm a badger mole. Foreshadow alert for what bender I am.
I know. I already can feel it.
I mean, but the planetarium scene is just so
it's gorgeous.
Cool. Like,
that's great.
That's how I remember planetarium is from when I was a kid. And then going to them as adults, I'm like, this isn't what it's like, but this kind of lives it for me.
All right.
Great. Promo, what about you? Where would you go?
So on the underground note, I'm going to choose the Crystal Caverns under Ba Sing Se. And there's this brief moment in the show where they refer to it as Old Ba Sing Se. And haven't asked the guys about it yet, but I'm going to. And I want to know what that was.
That is a great call.
Old Ba Sing Se.
Good question. Oh my gosh, we're going to crack this wide open. Thanks, Pramode. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. That's one of the only places that you guys overlapped was sort of in the like earth crystals, kind of that like cave-like environment, which I have to say I would fully do also. Okay, so we got to get our basic three. We love that you stretched your brains with us and such amazing answers for those. But now we just want to know, you have a favorite hybrid animal that you especially like? Pramode, what about you?
I'm going to go with the saber-toothed moose lion, which, you know, is it's
foo-foo
so
cuddly poops.
Random. Yeah, exactly. Foo-foo cuddly poops. And it's so random, but it's my favorite. I loved that episode. I love that animal. And I wish we saw more of it.
I kid you not, Pramode. That was what I had.
No way.
Foo-foo cuddly poops.
You guys are both saber-toothed moose lions?
I wrote that down, but I specified as a baby.
As a baby.
I wrote down the exact same thing.
I like the adult because it was so cool.
Oh,
the adult was cool. It was a little
bit
unmanageable.
We got the family spoken for. That is fabulous. Okay, what's next? Dante, you want to ask one of our other classics?
Do you guys have any favorite ships, relationships within the Avatarverse? Maybe even book two, but anywhere in the Avatarverse. Anyone? Anyone?
Mappa. Momo and Appa.
I should have known she was going to say this. She warned me that she was going to say this.
Momo and Appa is awesome. They do.
It reminds me of Shrek and Donkey's. This is a little Shrek reference just for Brian. Shrek and Donkey's relationship. So that's why I think Momo and Appa could really hit it off.
They have a successful relationship.
They did. And like, that's so cute at the end of the Cave of Two Lovers where Momo's like catching Appa up on like, all because they got separated on everything that happened.
Right.
You're like, okay, there's a debrief happening. I love it. It's so good.
Oh yeah.
And during Appa's last days when they're like doing the, you know, Momo's doing flyers and he's sad too. He's looking for Appa. He's delivering flyers. That guy, he missed Appa also during those days.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they already have a great communication channel going on. They talk to each other. They're supporting each other. I just think it has all the makings of a really strong relationship. So
that's beautiful. Pramode, who do you ship?
Oh man, following that up is crazy. Now, I've had lots of arguments with my girlfriend about Zutara, so I'm gonna say no Zutara. Sorry, Dante.
Ooh. I didn't say one thing. What?
I had to say it because it hurts me every time during these podcasts to hear people talk about Zutara. But my favorite
hurts
ship
him.
Is
what's your favorite ship?
Sukka. Sokka and Suki.
Yeah.
All time. Great ship.
So
I mean,
I can't argue with that for a second.
I love it.
Absolutely. I love it too. I mean, I want to see more. Isabella said,
I don't know.
Danger, danger.
I love Sokka.
Exactly.
Okay. This is going to take us to our final question. We've gotten some strong hints from Isabella, strong hints about what kind of bender she would be. Pramode, I have to say, I have absolutely no idea what you're going to say. So, Isabella, let's start with you. You've been teasing us through the entire episode. What kind of bender would you be?
Yeah, absolutely a swamp bender.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding. Not a swamp bender.
Oh my goodness.
Earthbender for sure. Earthbender.
Earthbender. Awesome. Shout out to the Earth Kingdom.
Yeah.
Very powerful place. Very strong people. The badger moles. You love those small places.
I would dig myself tunnels to go everywhere.
I love
that. Love it.
That's great.
Okay. All right. We got ourselves an earthbender. Okay. Promote. What kind of bender?
If you were a bender in the Avatarverse, what kind of bender would you be?
Oh, man. Now, this is like the hardest question of the night. But my like hard choice was to pick water. And it's because I'm very cool. I try to go with the flow. I don't think I'm stubborn enough to be in the Earth Kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah. But I have a great affinity for the Earth Kingdom. I would love to be an earthbender. Yes. I don't think I am.
Did Promote just call me stubborn?
He said something about stubbornness of some of Earth Kingdom people.
At least he's saying he loves the Earth Kingdom. He has showed zero love for the Fire Nation. I have not heard Promote say,
I didn't want to say
in
nothing,
addition to
Promote,
loving
about the
Earth Kingdom, no one's saying, and I love that Fire Nation, Promote. I'm noticing the
I don't
the
know what's going
that.
On here. No Zutara, no Fire Nation.
I love Dante. I love Dante. I love Zuko. So there we
Thank
go.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
You love Uncle Iroh. Uncle Iroh would comfort you.
Yes.
There's some good folks in the fight. We're some good people out here. We're not all power hungry, just, you know, chaos mongering folks. There's some good people.
It's just not all scary teenage girls.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
some of those teenage girls are scary.
All right.
I know.
I feel like we had a run of firebenders for a while. So maybe everybody's kind of bringing Dante back to earth a little bit.
We don't know. We have some more guests coming up, Varney. And we may have some firebenders join us soon.
Yeah, you never know. Friends, this has been so much fun. We kept you so much longer than we meant to. We knew we were going to have a blast. We're so happy to have you in our world and be in your world. And thank you for sharing a little part of your Avatar
Thank you guys so much. So fun hanging out with you guys.
Thanks for having us. This was so great.
This was awesome.
All right, guys. That was awesome. Thank you so much for listening to Avatar Braving the Elements. And hey, make sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a review. All of that really helps the podcast so much. And we love you guys. Next week, we're recapping City of Walls and Secrets with Brian Konietzko, and this is apparently a favorite episode of his. You can follow me on social media at the JV Club on Instagram and at Janet Varney on Twitter.
And I'm at Dante Bosco on both of those. We'll see you next Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
IF is the most original and heartfelt movie in years.
Magic like this comes around once in a lifetime.
This Friday, experience it with your whole family.
Can we do it again?
IF, rated PG.